want you.
Hello, brother, I'm Grace.
Hello, brother, I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 7, episode 18 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called One Way or Another.
And we're finally hitting the stride in this season. This was a fun ep. I was excited for it. I mean, and we're setting stuff up for the finale.
Yes, and I will say, you have the capability now to be able to guess what this last chapter is called.
Virginia.
You think it's the Virginia chapter?
Well, okay, now I don't. Magic pills chapter? Like,
it's the vault chapter, you idiot. Well...
Okay. How can I still not get it?
They said vault like 4 times. And it's clearly a major thing we're going to deal with.
Well, I was about to say armory, but I was like, I don't think it's the armory chapter. So, well...
I told you episodes ago it wasn't the armory chapter.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't say it.
Well, anyway, we've been in the vault chapter. This is the vault chapter. I really wanted to give you an easy, like, softball to start the episode, but guess not.
Oh, no.
Never mind. Lots to unpack this week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I will start, as always, by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. Determined to capture an escaped vampire named Ambrose, who may be the key to getting Stefan back safely. What do you mean, may?
He's in Stefan's body. What other key is there?
Damon heads to Memphis with Alaric in tow. However, reluctant to step back into his former vampire hunting ways, Alaric makes his unwillingness to participate clear while revealing the truth about the past 3 Damonless years of his life. Meanwhile, in the psych ward, Bonnie meets a young woman named Virginia, who provides her with some valuable information about why the armory may be after her. Finally, Enzo takes matters into his own hands when he learns some devastating news from Reyna. Rough go for Enzo.
He's doing his best, but it's getting away from him.
We open the episode in Damon's car. He is driving with Stefan/Marty. Stefan's asleep, so Damon checks to make sure he's breathing still. But then Stefan comes to and he's like, hey, what happened? And Damon says, well, I pulled you out of the snow. You ate a bunch of donuts and then you puked blood all over my nice clean car. Well, I don't know what you expected.
He's like, what do you want me to do about it, buddy?
Damon says, you said everything hurt, so I got you everything. Head stuff, throat stuff, stomach stuff. He has a whole bag of medicine. And Stefan says, oh, well, where are we? Damon says, we're on our way to Memphis. Valerie got a line on your real body, the one with the nice hair. Ha ha ha. Stefan says, how did my real body end up in Memphis? And Damon says, it's a long story. Just focus on staying alive. Sit back, relax, find your happy place. Chug a 5-hour energy, maybe with a cough syrup chaser. Stefan pukes blood into the bag of medicine.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Damon says, okay, plan B. And he pulls over. He calls 911. And Stefan says, hey, Damon, just a quick refresher. I can't go to a hospital. Marty Hammond got loaded and crashed a bus full of kids. There's an interstate manhunt going on. And Damon says, yeah, don't worry. I'm not taking you to a hospital. I'm bringing the hospital to us.
And I was like, great. So he's going to drive an ambulance with his brother in tow. No, just leave him there. Leave him there. I mean, at this point, we do have to turn to modern medicine.
Yeah, it's all we've got. We go to a hospital. Outside of the hospital, Rick pulls up next to Damon's car and an ambulance. And Damon comes out of the ambulance and says, hey, I had to improvise. You know, the over-the-counter stuff wasn't working. There's 2 EMTs. And he says, that's Frank and Sully. They're both like, hey.
And they're like, what's up, brother?
And Damon says, I have asked them very politely to make sure Marty stays alive. And if he doesn't, then I will cut their thumbs off and feed them to the squirrels. Right, guys? They both give a thumbs up.
Fun time for now.
Yeah, for now. Damon says, meanwhile, you and I are going to hunt down the sociopath that has taken residence in my brother. Then Valerie will jam his real soul back in. Oh, speaking of, where the fuck is my witch?
Yeah, he's like, she's kind of integral to this plan.
Rick says, oh, she's at a motel off Route 70 prepping for the spell. She can't prep in the car.
She's prepping for the spell by taking a nap, lazy ass.
And curling her hair to high heaven. Damon says, what do you mean? What could she have to prep? And Rick says, I guess it's a little more complicated than that. They never explain why. Well, they attempt to. But
it's not.
It's not. It's a spell.
It's a spell. She gets a nosebleed, but, you know,
Exactly. Rick says, at any rate, she managed to do a locator spell on the serial killer in Stefan's body. His name is Ambrose, as we discussed last week.
Mm-hmm. As I almost guessed.
Almost. You got so close. It turns out he's holed up in a frat house near Memphis College. And Damon says, well, maybe he'll be so busy snacking on drunk sorority girls that this will be an easy smash and grab. Listen, thank you for coming all this way to help out, buddy. It means a lot. And Rick says, well, I didn't volunteer. Valerie ambushed me.
He's like, well, thanks regardless.
Damon says, well, she probably thought you'd feel good about stepping up for an old friend, especially since you're planning on marrying his ex. And Rick says, you know, are you sure this is how you want to play it, Damon? You maybe bought Murdy an hour or so, but when the same thing happened to Joe, I don't know, maybe you want to consider spending your remaining time just being with your brother. This is a fair suggestion if there weren't a solution they were actively working towards.
Yeah, like Joe, we didn't have another option. And I get, Alaric, you got to try something to be like, anyway, I cannot be involved in this today and you can just mourn your brother and then I can safely get married without his sexy ass barging into my home. But alas.
But alas. Damon says, did you seriously just suggest I spend the afternoon saying a sappy goodbye to Stefan instead of saving his life? You're getting soft, Rick. More than soft. Your brain's liquefied. Get in the car.
And Rick's like, I mean, I had to try it. Fine, I guess this is what I'm doing today.
We go over to the Asheville psych ward where Bonnie is hanging out. Bonnie's in group therapy. And she says, the thing is, I cared about him more than anyone else in the world, but it wasn't enough. And he walked away like it was the easiest thing in the world to do. Then I find out he's back and hasn't bothered to contact me. I think, how could I have fallen into such a dark place over someone who cares so little about me? I've decided I'm ready to move on. I'm not going to let that betrayal define the rest of my life. It's also a little bit unclear how much this is true and how much this is a cover story to get into a psych ward.
That's what I was going to say. Like, she's undercover, but she's using that therapy, baby. Like, she's taking advantage of it.
She's like, might as well use the therapy while I'm here.
Like, I got to talk anyway. I might as well deal with my stuff.
Yeah. The doctor says, thank you, Bonnie. Nice progress. During Bonnie's speech, they cut to a woman and show her reaction, who's not the doctor. And then the doctor turns to that woman and says, Virginia, did you have anything you wanted to share? And Virginia says, no. And it's like, that's a lot of camera time for someone who doesn't have anything to share.
It's like, I'm guessing you will have something to share shortly.
I'm guessing we'll be hearing from you later this week. We go out to Rick's car. Or no, Damon's car. We go to Damon's car. Rick is in the car with him. Okay, how? Jesus, girl, it's not that hard to say.
We got it.
They're in the car. Damon says, you know, oh, what did I miss while I was gone? What's been happening? And Rick says, I wouldn't know. And Damon says, come on, maybe you buried your head in the Dallas sandbox, but your wife-to-be, she's always had her nose in everyone's business, which is why I find it hard to believe that she wouldn't drop some details about her best friend over string cheese and chicken nuggets. And Rick says, Damon, if you're fishing for information about Bonnie, I suggest you go straight to the source. And Damon says, I would, but she didn't leave a forwarding address at my storage unit. It doesn't matter. It'll give Care Bear something and I to talk about at the reception. And Rick says, well, actually, you know, we're not having a big wedding thing. Just a few friends. Caroline doesn't want anybody to know.
Alaric's like, I don't know how to tell you this, Damon. You're not invited.
Because we assumed you'd be asleep.
Yeah. You already got to be best man in one wedding. Like, sorry.
Damon says, hey, since when do you have friends besides me? And Rick says, we made new ones. Look, I know this has been just a catnap for you, Damon, but it's been 3 years in the real world. People change. Life goes on. And Damon says, it wasn't a catnap. I made an excruciatingly painful descent into a mere death state so I wouldn't destroy everyone I love. You're laying it on a little thick, Damon. It was a catnap.
At the end of the day, it was a catnap. And if it was so excruciating, you could have not done it. Everyone told you not to.
Literally no one made you. And people actually encouraged against it.
You did not have the most hardship here, Damon. Let's shut our mouth. For a second.
Rick says, you know what? Now that we know where Ambrose is all camped out, I think I'm going to get back to my life now. So if you don't mind taking me to the airport or a train station or even this bus stop, if you want to pull over. And they drive past it. He says, there it goes. Damon says, I get you're mad. I shouldn't have said goodbye in a letter. I should have flown to Dallas and taken you out for drinks and line dancing and told you face to face. I'm very sorry, Rick. Let me make it up to you. Damon, I know you don't need to be given this advice because I'm sure many people have told you this before. When apologizing, it's best not to sound like you're making fun of the concept of apologizing.
Yeah.
Let's cut on the glibness, huh?
there is some growth here, because in the past he wouldn't have even uttered the words "I'm sorry." Like, so him getting those words out, a win. Now, do I think he should be taking this a little more seriously? Certainly. But to be fair, that's usually all it takes for people to forgive him.
Rick says, "You know, Damon, I'm really not interested in being part of your 12-step redemption tour." Well, you're already on it, King.
You got in the car with him. Unfortunately, you're dead in the middle.
Damon says, "One more mission for old time's sake, huh? I can assure you that saving my baby brother will be much more fun than putting together old broken-up baby dolls." And Rick says, "Well, I'm not particularly a fan of your brother right now either. He broke Caroline's heart when he abandoned her." And Damon says, "Worked out well for you, didn't it?"
Now, Lurk doesn't want to hear this one bit.
Yeah, but also I do think that, like, because Valerie did this last week and Damon's doing it too, they're ascribing a kind of like evil energy to Alaric, which I don't think is particularly fair. To be fair, I don't think Alaric and Caroline should date. And I think him being older, he should have been able to shut it down. But it does seem that she's pretty much shut it down, but is getting married. It's so.
Yeah, it's.
And that's my other problem with this time jump is, like, if you're going to have people get engaged, it's such a cop out to be like, yeah, but she's only doing it because she has to. At least let her be a little conflicted. Again, I don't want them to date, but if you're going to make them be engaged, like, go all the way with it. Don't go halfway.
Yeah, because whenever someone does this, like, oh, it worked out for you, it didn't, though. Like, he knows, like, every time he talks about it, he's like, yeah, she's really not into me. And I know that I'm, like, the only one who's into this. And so whenever they're like, oh, you should save Stefan, like, even though he's going to come back in your life, Alaric's like, I'm not even sure she's sticking around regardless, guys.
Yeah, I just feel like the, oh, worked out pretty well for you. It's like, okay, again, not to be like an Alaric apologist and a Stefan and Damon hater, but Alaric was there to raise the kids while Damon napped and Stefan went traveling the world with Valerie. How is Alaric the evil one here? How's he the conniving, manipulative one?
Especially because, like, yes, Stefan was quote unquote on the run, but during those 3 years, he didn't actually have to be.
And I know he was supposedly writing letters to Caroline, but after she sends a few back unopened, how about we call? Or how about we take a trip to Dallas? I just don't.
For like a week. You don't have to live there, but you're only traveling.
Show up at her door and be like, hey, I know things are still dangerous and this is for the best, but I really want to talk to you. So I'm sorry. You're not going to make me believe that Alaric was like, hee hee hee. It's like, you left the opening, Stefan.
Well, and also, if my boyfriend, who I was in love with, ran away, even though he wasn't in danger and didn't talk to me, and then started sending me letters from his, like, worldwide journey while I'm raising infants, like, yeah, I'm not opening those fucking letters. I'm pissed.
Yeah, I'm not hearing from you. You want to talk to me? Come here.
And sure, I'm raising babies with this dude. I mean, I might as well get married. All the mommy and me people are asking me about it anyway. Like, why not?
As we've discussed, Caroline's a vampire. Marriage doesn't mean the same thing, and particularly, like, one marriage, who cares? She could get married to Rick, be married until he dies, and then get married again. Like,
yeah,
being married, I mean, Caroline as a character makes sense as someone who, like, really puts a lot of stock in marriage and weddings.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a vampire, it's like, I might as well marry this guy who I'm raising kids with. Like, it's just going to be easier for the kids. It doesn't really need to be about me right now because I'm immortal. I can marry for love whenever.
It makes sense for Caroline as a character to be like, it makes sense to raise these children in a standard family unit. Mm-hmm. So this just is the easiest way to do it. I'm already living with him. Why not, you know, just make it easier for the rest of the world?
Yeah.
And Alaric just kind of lucked into being in love with her. And he's like, hey, it I'll could be it. A lot worse for me. Okay. I've had worse. At least she's not faking her death to get away from me. So I'm calling this a win.
Or at least she doesn't have a brother who stabs her at the altar, you know?
Yeah.
She's an only child.
Yeah.
Win-win.
On that front. I know a sibling isn't killing her at the wedding.
Yeah. And her parents are both dead. Like, no family to kill her.
The odds of me getting through a wedding with both of us alive is pretty solid. And honestly, I will take that.
I'll take those odds.
I've taken less.
Damon says, oh, come on, help me out, be a hero. I mean, unless you don't think Caroline cares whether Stefan lives or dies. And Rick is like, well, of course she fucking cares.
Well, you know, to be fair to Damon, he's going into this like nothing changed, because to him, he was asleep. But it's like, just asking people to save Stefan doesn't have the same weight it once did.
Yeah, people are not too pleased with Stefan right now. And it's not like Alaric and Stefan have ever been bestie besties.
Yeah, this reasoning probably wouldn't have worked on him anyway. He usually would just do stuff to help Damon because he was his friend.
Usually he would help Stefan because it's like, okay, well, Damon and Elena care about Stefan, so I guess I sort of have to. But it's not like Rick and Stefan are like boys.
Rick doesn't really fuck with him, and he has reasons not to now, so.
Yeah. We go over to the ambulance. Stefan is laying and he, nods off, I guess. And we go to a flashback and we're back in the Philippines 2 years ago. At least this time, Valerie's not there.
Yeah.
Stefan has a paper in front of him. He's sitting at the bar. The paper says, "Dear Caroline," and the rest of the page is blank. And the bartender says, "Hey, where's your girl tonight?" And Stefan says, "My girl?" He doesn't even think of Valerie.
He's like, who are you talking about?
Said,
Like,
"Who?
Stefan.
Come on, you know who he thinks is your girl." The bartender says, "Valerie, tall, pretty, likes the drinks with the little pink umbrellas. Or do you have more than one?" And Stefan says, "No, just one." One being Caroline. The bartender's like, "That name says Caroline, and I know that other girl is Valerie. What's the deal?"
He says, and who are you writing letters to
Mm-hmm.
if it's not someone you're in love with?
The bartender says, "Need any help? Like, what are you trying to write?" And Stefan says, "An apology. I wish things were different, but it's safer this way. Never meant to hurt you. I wish you all the happiness in the world." Bartender says, "That sounds good to me." "Well, I'm sorry, bartender, but you don't have enough context. That's not enough. That's not good enough for this situation."
Bartender's like, that's better written than most of the apologies people pitch to me. And
Yeah.
Stefan's like, well, I did a lot. I have quite a bit to apologize for.
Stefan says she returns all of them unopened. So this is, Steriline shippers, Stefan defenders. At least we know he was writing to her. We needed this win. I'm gonna
That's what
take
you'll
it.
take.
Like, at least he's doing something resembling anything.
Yeah, I do appreciate that he's at least trying. And like I said, I respect Caroline hitting return to sender and saying bye.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I get a letter and it says Philippines. Fuck you.
Oh, fuck you. I'm raising a child and you're in the Philippines with Valerie's ass?
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'm not opening that.
The bartender says, "Maybe this is the one she'll read." And Stefan says, "Right," because he knows it's not going to be.
Stefan said, we both know that's wishful thinking.
You're just trying to get a tip.
And the bartender said, yeah, I mean, what do you want me to say? You want me to tell you the truth? That's not how things work. I'm a bartender.
Yeah. We go over to the ambulance. Frank is sitting with Stefan and says, "Hey, everything okay, buddy?" And Stefan says, "Do you have a piece of paper and a pen? I need to write a letter in case I don't make it out of this."
Wasn't writing a letter to Valerie.
Well, we haven't seen the letter, so who knows? We don't know who he's writing it to.
Well, I think we know.
We can assume, though, that
All the
once
love in the
Valerie and
world.
him break up, he would be like,
Yeah.
"Oh, before you go, I wrote you a letter."
Yeah, considering Valerie walked out without a letter in her hand.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good clue.
We go back to Memphis at the frat party. People are chanting chug. There's a guy doing a keg stand, but twist, Ambrose is feeding on the guy doing the keg stand. Fun. As we said in season five, we did not get enough mileage out of the college storyline.
A chug thing? Well, Ambrose is chugging and this guy's just doing a headstand for no reason. Funny.
I laughed.
Showy. Cool.
Damon breaks down the door, and Ambrose says, "Damon, I was wondering if you'd show up. Come in, friend, have a drink." But of course, Damon can't come in. He's stuck at the threshold.
Yeah, because that invitation didn't count.
Ambrose says, "Oh dear, it looks like you're a pledge who didn't make the cut. I guess now you'll have to slog through a bit of old-fashioned hazing." So Damon goes back to the car.
Because he's like, I'm not doing that.
And he goes to Rick and says, "Okay, I couldn't get past the threshold. You're on deck. I got your disguise. It's a college sweatshirt." It's like, he's not a student.
Yeah, so I said to myself, where's the disguise for his face?
But then Damon says, "Here, put that on. You can go as the creepy professor pretending to chaperone," which was really his whole gig at Whitmore.
He did that every time.
Rick says, "I booked a 5:15 into Dallas. I even used my miles." Damon says, "You're not flying anywhere. You know that. You leveled a rifle on me when I showed up at your house. I know you're still in the game." And Rick says, "I'm not in the game because I possess the means to protect my family from some uninvited lurker."
Yeah, you protect your family by having a rifle, not in a gun safe. Interesting.
Damon says, "It's my brother's life we're talking about. If you're not going to do it for me, at least do it for the guy who stepped aside and made this perfect, happy life that you're just dying to get back to possible." It's funny because he's like, "Hey, you should be thankful that Stefan gave you this life." That gives Stefan a lot of fucking credit.
Yeah, in a simplified sense, sure, but things had to happen behind the scenes too.
A girl knocks on the window of the car and she says, "Are you Damon Salvatore?" And Damon says, "That depends on who's asking." She says, "Hey, this guy said if you don't answer this, I'm supposed to run into traffic." And Damon says, "Okay, I'm answering." Damon answers the phone and says, "So I hear your vampire MO is payback for being a Greek system reject. Kind of cliche, don't you think?" So it is confirmed that the reason Ambrose kills fraternity party people is because he wasn't let into a fraternity.
And all the love in the world, like, how hard was it to get into a fraternity in, like, the 1800s? It couldn't have been hard. Maybe you just had to be rich, and maybe he wasn't rich enough.
You had to be a total weirdo. Which, I mean, given the fact that he was a serial killer, he probably was a weirdo. Maybe he went into the parties and was like, "So, when do we, like, fuck the goats?"
And they're like, "Whoa, we don't do that yet.
He's like, "I think that's, like, the whole thing about fraternities is you get to, like, fuck and then kill a goat." And they're like, "No."
But then it planted the seed, and some guy in the back of the room said, "I just had an idea for hazing."
That would be funny if we made them fuck a goat, though. But that guy seems too excited about it, so we don't want him to do it.
Yeah, I think he seems like he wants to. Yeah. So that's not fun.
It's more fun if they don't want to.
A little fraternity humor.
A little fraternity humor. Call me Ambrose. Ambrose says, "Hey, why don't you come back here, Damon? I'm sure I can remember which attractive, overprivileged parasite owns this place."
Clearly hates rich people as well.
Yeah. Damon says, "Well, the only parasite I'm interested in is you." And Ambrose says, "You know, I actually don't care much for the taste of blood. What I do love are the less obvious perks. Eavesdropping skills, mind games. Of course, it's fun to wantonly murder these class-obsessed imbeciles, but making them kill each other? That really takes the egg."
What egg?
The subtitles say egg, and I was like, well, maybe he says cake and the subtitles just say egg, but it sounds like he says egg.
No, he says egg, which is just, never heard that before. It set me over the edge.
No one comments on it.
He's like, Damon's like, egg.
And maybe this is just a saying we don't know.
Well, and it's just funny that he's like, "I actually don't care for the taste of blood. I like the other stuff." They really found an opposite person to put in Stefan's body, huh?
Yeah, isn't that fun? Damon says, "This is all super fascinating, but here's the thing. I can't hear you that well. I don't think the reception's that good in there. Why don't you come out and deliver your villainous monologue face to face? What do you think? Worth a shot?"
Yeah, I mean, why not? He's been in a hellstone for like 200 years. Like, he might not be that smart.
Ambrose says, "Damon, I know you won't leave me alone till you get your brother's body back. So why don't you do me one small favor and we both get what we want?" Damon says, "How small?" Ambrose breaks a bottle. And says, "Raina Cruz, she chased me across this country for a decade, made my life hell, literally. Yours too, I hear." Damon says, "What about her?" And Ambrose says, "You know, let's just say I made things personal with her. Framed her for a couple massacres, turned her boyfriend. She won't be satisfied until I'm dead." While he's talking about this, he's filling up a solo cup with his blood. So this is interesting lore. She has said before that her boyfriend got turned into a vampire. We know Ambrose was the one who did it.
Great way to get at a vampire hunter. Sorry.
Exactly. Ambrose says, "In fact, Raina's probably on her way over here right now. So why don't you go ahead and kill her for me? And I promise I will turn your brother's body back over to you." Ambrose then gives the solo cup of his blood to a random frat guy who drinks it and is like, "What the hell is this? This ain't beer."
But he's still drinking it. He's like, "Whatever. Whoever gets me drunk, fella."
Damon says, "And why would you do that?" And Ambrose says, "Oh, well, clearly you're not familiar with the loophole. I can easily jump into the body of a transitioning vampire." He kills the guy he just fed blood to, so that would be a transitioning vampire. Of course, he just leaves him here, so he turns into a vampire for sure.
Well, so either he turns into a vampire and gets away, or he just gets staked at this house. But I bet that would raise more questions than anything, so he probably let him leave.
Probably what happened. I mean, I think he left too fast for the transition to finish. So, you know, he kills everybody. So probably what happened is this guy like comes to and there's all these dead bodies, tons of blood to drink from. And then he walked outside and burned because it's daylight.
Oh, true.
But who knows?
But who knows? Maybe he somehow got out of it. I love who told Ambrose he could jump into random bodies while he was in the Hellstone. Who told him about this loophole? Because at first it's like, is he lying?
I mean, I think we can make the assumption that they could feasibly move his soul into another body because that whole plan is to move Stefan's soul to his body. But I don't know that it's so much a loophole or that it has to be a transitioning vampire. I think it just has to be a vampire.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want it to be in a human because then
I guess
he
it
dies
doesn't
anyway.
Have to be a vampire, but he needs it to be a vampire, I should say.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure it seems that since he framed Raina for a couple massacres and killed her boyfriend, he's clearly aware of her lore.
Yeah.
Because he was fucking with her for some time.
Exactly.
Which he can't really be shocked that ended with him in the stone. I mean, it sounds like he had it coming.
Ambrose says, "All you need to do is find me a witch who can soul swap me into the body of a fellow you don't care about, and Stefan can have his body back. I, in turn, can mount Raina Cruz's head on my wall. Everybody wins. What do you say, Damon? And Damon hears that plan, and it's a pretty fair deal, so he says, consider it done. Amber says, wonderful.
Yeah, he's like, sure, I kind of wanted to kill Raina anyway. I really don't have beef with you. Sounds good to me.
And also, I mean, he is, at the end of the day, a vampire, so, like, they could swap him and easily kill him.
Yeah, especially if he's going right into the body of a new vampire. Like,
especially since they control the witch, because he doesn't know any witches. He learned how to use a cell phone, but he doesn't know a lot what's going on.
He went to the girl and compelled her, and he said, okay, before we do anything, I need you to teach me how to use this.
He went up and says, like, do any of you have a telephone? And they're all like, yeah, we all do.
And he's like, damn, okay, let me just pick one.
We go over to the motel Valerie spent all morning heading to.
Yeah.
And she comes in and she gets a call from Damon and she says, oh, how's Stefan? And Damon says, well, Murdy's old hurt is still beating thanks to the miracle of modern medicine. I am now sending him to the beautiful Wildwood Motel in a big red truck. Little sirens on the top, white stripe on the side. You can't miss it. So Ambrose hears that.
Ambrose said, okay, then I'll use that if I need it.
Valerie says, what about Ambrose? What's taking so long? And Damon says, you know, I'm out here busting my ass trying to catch this candy shell of a man you love. You're the one holed up in the motel eating vending machine crackers, so give me a break, okay? And yeah, she's not doing anything.
Like, she's sitting there prepping for the spell. It just seems like she wanted to get breakfast.
Yeah, which, hey, me too, queen.
Fine, me too, but, like, time is of the essence.
But then you can't be like, what's the deal? What's taking so long over there? Girl, I know how you could speed it along. Help.
Yeah.
Valerie says, Gemini spells usually take two witches, Damon. Since the fuck when?
This has literally never happened.
Like, and I get that, like, I mean, that lore would have made sense if we had introduced it, because Gemini is twins, like, but we've never introduced it.
And, like, the heretics often do spells in a group, but that's just because they were always a group. Like, everyone was doing spells random times. You're telling me it takes two people to invisiquay?
Well, and then also it's like Kai did a lot of big spells by himself. And I get that we're supposed to understand that, like, Kai was supernaturally powerful, like especially powerful. But also they said that, like, Luke was actually a threat for him. So I have to imagine that, like, he wasn't incredibly more powerful than Luke. And Luke did plenty of spells by himself. So did Liv. I mean, Liv did that whole other side spell by herself.
Yeah. She brought, like, seven people back to life by herself.
Yeah.
And it would be one thing if, like, oh, Kai was only powerful after he merged. Because that merge two spells, that would make sense. But Kai was messing shit up before he merged.
And that's one whole thing. That doesn't even address the fact that, A, heretics are supposed to be super powerful because they can siphon their blood. And their blood is a continuous magic resource. So it's like, number one, I don't think any of these spells have ever needed two people. And number two, even if they did, siphon your damn blood.
Or, like, let's say you don't have enough power from your own blood to siphon. Good thing there's another vampire standing right fucking there that you can siphon.
I'm like, huh.
Valerie's being lazy. I'll say it. I've been saying it, so I clearly have no issue saying it, but it's like, just do a fucking spell. Bonnie wouldn't have done all this. Bonnie would have just done the spell.
She's never beating the deadbeat allegations.
Literally, to the very end.
Valerie says, I'm trying to gather my strength so I can actually get him back into his own body. And again, this would be another thing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. This would be another thing if the spell did end up killing her. She's totally fine.
Yeah. Sure, she's magic. She has to gather her strength. She got, like, four candles and, like, set the beds. Like, does gather your strength mean take a nap? It's fine if it does.
But, like, you're not doing anything crazy here.
Like, you're just sitting in the hotel.
Yeah, why can't you do that in the ambulance? I mean, in general, it makes sense for them to have the ambulance on the move anyway, because then it's harder for people to find Murdy Hammond, for one. But also, you think Ambrose is going to learn that you want to switch bodies and he's not going to go after Stefan at some point?
Well, also, like, at some point, people in the hospital where Frank and Sully work are going to be like, why haven't they started driving the ambulance? The whole point of an ambulance is that it's on the move. If it's sitting at the hospital, what's the point?
Yeah. Anyway, Damon says, you're saying you can't do it. And Valerie says, I didn't say that. And Damon says, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to live in the middle, Val. You either can do it or you can't. And Valerie says, everyone I've ever loved in this entire world is gone. Stefan is the only thing I have left. I'll do whatever I have to do to get it done. Okay, then what was the point of this conversation?
Like, okay, great. So you could have just said, yes, I'll get the spell done.
Glad we're on the same fucking page.
You could have just sent a text, hey, made it to the motel, gonna gather my strength.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Damon says, okay. Also, any chance that you could spare some of that strength to do a locator spell on Raina Cruz?
Because a locator spell isn't hard.
Yeah. We go out to an Uber or a taxi. They don't ever say it's an Uber, but it's basically an Uber.
It's definitely meant to be an Uber.
Yeah. Raina comes to, she's like kind of nodding off in the back of a car. She's got the voices in her head. And the driver is talking to her and he says, you know, I majored in poli-sci, but obviously what do you do with a poli-sci degree? So I'm doing this, but only for now.
He cannot read the room. Like, she is not listening.
She doesn't give a fuck. And he says, oh, hey, are you okay back there? Because if you puke in my car, I gotta ding you with 0 stars. And she says, I'm fine. How much further? And he says, oh, not further. You're gonna love these guys. They throw parties that rage for like 3 days. I know, like, you're Uber, but like, she seems like she's blacked out. You're bringing her to a frat party.
Yeah, in the middle of the day.
Yeah, but then he's like, oh, what the heck? And he looks ahead and there's just like some cones in the road. She says, don't stop. And he says, sorry, I gotta stop. It says so in the bylaws.
And he like drops his sunshade to like show the bylaws, supposedly. The Uber bylaws that are printed out on his sunshade. Okay.
Whatever, fine.
The bylaws are like, you can't go past cones.
Sorry. It's like rule number one. And then, so he stops and she gets shot through the back window by, you know, little darts, as mm-hmm. she's known to be. And Enzo comes to the driver's side with a gun and he points it at the guy and he compels the Uber driver, hey, sit here, don't call anyone, don't move. And then he turns the hazards on the car, takes Raina and goes.
Yeah.
So this guy's just stuck here all day. He's going to lose a bunch of money.
The fares are coming in and Uber's like, well, we're going to stop prioritizing if you don't take any rides today.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't move.
And of course Enzo's got to butt in right as things are moving fine.
Yeah. We go over to the Asheville psych ward. It's pill time. Bonnie goes to the window and like takes her pills and she says, hey, can you check to see if I've got any messages from my doctor? And then later Bonnie walks down the hallway. She's followed by Virginia from earlier mm-hmm. and they stare at each other and Virginia says, hey, then walks into another room.
And it's like, okay, nice chat.
So Bonnie follows Virginia and then Virginia like closes the door behind her and locks them in a room. Why are you putting locks on doors in a mental hospital?
Yeah, this is a fancy mental hospital, it appears, but they have not taken the proper precautions.
There's quite a few other issues here.
It's pretty lax here.
Yeah. Bonnie says, what are you doing? And Virginia says, you've been stealing my meds. Every day when you get your meds, you ask the nurse, hey, do I have any messages from my doctor? Then she looks and you swap my meds with sugar pills. Why are you stealing my meds? Again, what kind of nurse that she falls for this every single fucking day?
Like, at least when she comes up, be like, you always ask, I already checked.
Yeah.
Like, at the minimum, but also it's like, okay, I'll tell you if you have messages from your doctor. Don't worry about that. Why are you so attached to your doctor?
Yeah, literally. And she's like, although I have seen your doctor, he's so hot.
I hope he has messages for me.
You know what I'm talking about, girl.
Here's whatever pills you want.
Bonnie says, because none of us are going to get well if we can't think straight. You seem to be in a weird fog. I wanted to help. This is just, I mean, I know that like, whatever, this is the storyline, but it's like, I feel like no one is like, oh my God, thank you. Like, yeah, imagine, what business is it of yours?
Well, and I get that like, I'm sure she doesn't need whatever meds they're giving her because I'm sure the meds are just like to keep her quiet or whatever. But imagine you're in a psych ward and like you're finally feeling better and someone's like, I'm taking all your meds. And it's like, what the fuck?
It's like, what?
I'm paying like $3,000 a day to be here.
Yeah.
Like the least I can do is get meds out of it.
Literally. Virginia hugs her and says, oh my God, thank you so much. I feel like myself again. I haven't in a long time. Hey, do you want to get something to eat? I know where the nurses hide their candy bars.
Like, why are they hiding anything within reach of the patients? Like, what if there's a diabetic patient?
Keep it in your locker, in your break room.
Well, and why are you all bringing candy bars to the office? Like, are you adults? All the love in the world.
Are you incapable of making it through a workday without some M&Ms?
Not to shame people for what they're eating, but come on.
Yeah.
You're nurses.
Bonnie says, sure. We go out to the road. Damon and Rick pull up to the cones.
They're like, oh, you gotta stop.
Yeah, Rick says, that doesn't look good. They get out and they approach and they can see that the driver is freaked out. So Damon says like, hey, what the hell happened here? The driver says, I had a fare. I was taking her to a frat party and some guy with an accent shot at the car and dragged her away. And Damon said, oh my God, not a guy with a fucking accent. I know exactly who that is.
And Damon said, okay, well, I'm pretty sure I know what happened.
We go over to Enzo's car. Enzo picks up the phone and says, "Oh, Damon, to what do I owe the pleasure?" And Damon says, "Bring her back." And Enzo says, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Enzo's like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that."
Damon says, "Isn't it a little embarrassing playing fetch for the armory?" And Enzo says, "I'm no longer affiliated with that organization. Try to keep up."
He was asleep.
Damon says, "Fine, enlighten me. What are your exact needs for Reyna Cruz at this moment? Because I promise you, I need her a lot more than you do." And Enzo says, "Oh, is that so? Well, then let me ask you a question. How's Bonnie? You know, the best friend you just abandoned. What's her life been like since you decided to push the pause button on your pathetic existence?" Now, Damon should say, he's like, why do you give a fuck?
Yeah, like, why are you bringing this up?
Why are you bringing up Bonnie?
I'm working up to talking to her. I'm starting with Alaric. I thought he'd be easier.
Damon says, "We're not talking about Bonnie right now. We're talking about Stefan, who's currently dying, and the fact that Reyna is the only key to his survival."
And Enzo's like, "When have I ever given a fuck about Stefan?
Me and Stefan have never gotten along."
He said, "If anything, I have beef with that dude."
Yeah. Enzo says, "Well then, I suggest you find another way to save him because you're not getting her." And then Enzo hangs up.
Damon's like, "Damn, nobody does anything for me anymore."
Yeah. In Damon's car, Rick says they're together, Bonnie and Enzo. And Damon says, "What?" Damon says, "Together as in someone kidnapped Bonnie Bennett and brainwashed her into a relationship with Enzo?" And Rick says, "As in Bonnie got into trouble with the armory when you decided to take your hibernation vacation. Enzo stepped up and helped her. I guess things happened from there."
He says, "Look, Damon, I know you're having your issues with Enzo right now, but you can't say that guy isn't hot."
Yeah. Damon says, "I thought you didn't know anything." But of course, Rick's like, "Of course, that's gossip that's interesting to me."
Rick's like, "Obviously, Caroline's gossiping. Like, you knew I was lying when I said that."
Yeah, I'm just mad at you. Damon gets a call on the phone the girl gave him. So Rick says, "Your Barbie dream phone is ringing." Damon answers it and says, "I was just about to call you." It's Ambrose. And Ambrose says, "You know what I realized? Between, like, this game of beer pong and the extremely short shorts, modern Greek life is even less dignified than it once was." Damon says, "I'm not going to get into conversation about Greek life because I really don't give a fuck. We hit a little bump in the road." And Ambrose says, "I hope that means you ran over Reyna Cruz and strapped her to the hood of your vehicle." And Damon says, "Ambrose, brother, nothing would make me happier than exterminating our little huntress, but I'm going to need to take a rain check on the hit. Listen, I promise I'm going to get to it. It's just she's currently out of range and I'm running out of time. What do you say? We have a deal?" Why not just say, "Yep, I got her. Meet us at this motel." Like, why are we telling the truth?
Like, he doesn't need to know this because I know that you know where he is and whatever, but like, he's capable of leaving.
He doesn't even have to stay out of your range for that long. I mean, honestly, in 24 hours, if you don't catch him, it'll all work out in his favor.
Yeah, so he really doesn't have to do that much.
He could probably, like, laze his way into it if he was really, like, lucky.
He just had to stop and kill a whole house full of people. That was on him.
Yeah. Ambrose says, "This sense of disappointment must be what it feels like to actually have you for a brother." And then he hangs up.
Damon's like, "Okay, was that necessary?
Was that called for? Really? You barely know me." At the psych ward in Nashville, Bonnie and Virginia are sharing M&Ms. And Bonnie says, "So how'd you end up in here?" And Virginia says, "Same as you, I guess. I was betrayed by someone I loved. Except it was my family, not my boyfriend."
And at this point, I was thinking to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, "Is she a Saint John?" This sounds like something they'd do.
Bonnie says, "Oh, Damon wasn't my boyfriend. He was, I don't know what he was." And Virginia says, "That's even worse."
Virginia's like, "You're in a psych ward over someone who's not even your boyfriend?"
She said, "Damn." Bonnie says, "So what happened with your family?" And Virginia says, "Let's just say I tried to save them from something dark. Turns out they didn't want to be saved. So my sister had me drugged up and locked away in this psych ward. Got everyone to say I'm crazy, which I'm not."
What I love about this, like, I understand, like, getting her drugged up, putting her in a psych ward, you know, she's crazy, no one listens to her. You have, like, 500 cells and all the medical care to take care of. So I'm like, why did you not just lock her up in
there?
Yeah,
why send her somewhere else where someone else could find her and have information? I guess, I don't know.
Maybe you're worried she'll break out and she'll do something or she'll, like, whatever. But it's just a little silly.
It does feel like the armory is more secure than this mental hospital. Based on, you know, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, based on what we've already mentioned and what we will continue to mention.
Yeah. Bonnie says, "Yeah. Must be hard being a member of the St. John family." And Virginia says, "You know who my family is. Is that why you're here to spy on me? Do you work for them?" Bonnie says, "No."
Bonnie said, "Okay, someone sounds a little paranoid."
Yeah. Bonnie says, "Your sister Alex is looking for me. The whole armory is looking for me." Virginia says, why? And Bonnie says, well, I don't know. I faked a story and checked myself into this place a few weeks ago, hoping you could help me figure it out. They've been hunting me for 3 years. Another way they made this time jump dumb. She's only been here for a few weeks.
Well, yeah, they've been hunting her for 3 years, but she's like, what has she been up to for those 3 years? Like, yeah. She just found this mental hospital. And another thing, if you have a sister who you want everyone to believe is crazy and not contact, I don't know, put a different last name on the form.
Literally.
I'm just saying, especially when you have a distinctive last name, just leave out the same.
Yeah, that is just foolish to not use a fake name. That's so true. I guess she didn't have anyone to compel anyone and say, like, this is her name. So maybe she needed to put in her social security number. I don't know. Maybe they had to do, like, a social security number.
Fair enough. Okay, Alex Stan.
I'm just trying to figure out why Alex wouldn't have done that because, I don't know, maybe she's just stupid. Or she sent one of her lackeys who's stupid. Hard to say.
I think she's just confident that no one would find her because why would they?
Yeah, because who would be looking?
Yeah, because they don't usually let people run away from them for 3 years.
Yeah. Virginia says, if you're expecting me to give you some pearl of wisdom, you're out of luck. That's what my family does. They hunt things, weapons, relics, people, and they don't stop until they get exactly what they want. And Bonnie says, well, I need my life back. So if there's anything you can tell me, Virginia starts to go, but Bonnie says, okay, here's something. I'm a Bennett witch. Does that mean anything to you?
She said, fine, I'll drop this.
And Virginia says, well, prove it. Do magic. And Bonnie says, I can't. I don't have access to my magic right now. And Virginia says, okay, well, if you really were a Bennett witch, they would have tracked you down a long time ago. And Bonnie says, I found a way to hide from them. That I can prove, if you promise to keep my secret. And Virginia says, yeah, I'll keep your secret, if you promise you'll break me out when you go. And Bonnie says, oh, deal. You can't hold me to that.
What are you going to do? Tell them I promise to break you out? They'll carry you away. We're good.
Yeah, it's a psych ward, girl.
Super easy to go back on that if I want to.
Yeah, she says, that's a good deal.
What's Virginia going to do? Call Alex? There's no way Alex picks up the phone.
We go over to the frat house. Damon and Rick approach it. The girl from earlier with the phone comes out. She's got a broken bottle and there's blood all over her, so that's not a good sign. Rick says what happened, but she doesn't answer.
Walks directly towards traffic, it appears.
The door has blood on it, and Damon is able to go inside. So, pretty clear what happened. They go in and find all these dead bodies. And Rick says, you think he went after Raina himself? And Damon says, no, he wouldn't know where to look. That's why he made me the hitman. Damon tries to call the number he's been using for Ambrose, but Ambrose has left the phone on the floor in this room. And Rick says maybe he's looking for his next murder party, or maybe he's going to keep running until... And Damon says, Marty drops dead with my brother still on board. And Rick says, on board. Hey, a thought.
What a connection to make.
I know. He's smart. That's the thing. Like, this connection is a little bit of a leap, but it's like, well, if anyone's going to make this leap, it is Rick. Rick is pretty smart.
I think this connection makes sense, but it's so funny that he says, on board. Like, that's what reminded you of this.
Yeah, I feel okay. He says, hey, do you think he overheard you tell the drivers where to take Marty? You were just outside the house when you said it. And Damon says, oh no, maybe he figures he can get me off his back if he snuffs out Marty, and then I won't need Stefan's body anymore. We go over to the ambulance. They are driving to the motel at this point. And Frank answers Damon's call and says, this is Frank.
Classic Frank.
And Damon says, hey Frank, tell me you're not still driving. And Frank says, we hit a little accident-related traffic a few miles back. And Damon says, what is the point of having an emergency vehicle if you can't run other cars out of the way? Now, you should have compelled them to use the siren. This is on you.
Yeah, you told them to drive. You didn't say to use the siren.
Yeah. Frank says, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And Damon says, do not stop again. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Turn the lights on the top of the van, Frank, and deliver him to a very powerful witch woman before some lunatic tries to off my brother. Frank says, copy that. And then he hangs up and says, hey, Sully, we got to turn the lights on. Sully nods, he turns to turn the lights on, and then they get T-boned by a car, and the ambulance flips over. And then we see who's driving that other car. It's Ambrose, and he says, bullseye.
He's so silly goofy.
He's having fun. Sully climbs out of the ambulance after it crashes, and then Ambrose gets out of his SUV and approaches. Frank also gets out of the ambulance. Pretty good for them that they can walk for now. Ambrose picks up a metal, like, beam.
It looks like a muffler of some sort.
Yeah, and Sully says, like, hey, buddy, are you okay? And Ambrose says, me? Oh, I'm well, thank you. And then he knocks Sully out with the thing. And spots Frank and says, how about you, friend? Are you hurt? Frank tries to run away, but unfortunately, Ambrose vampire runs and feeds on him. So rest in peace, Frank and Sully. You were really doing a good job today.
You did a good job. Even after this guy directly crashed into you, you still asked if he was okay first. It's a good man.
Good man. During this whole like sequence, we could see like Stefan like hear what's going on. So now that Frank and Sully are dead, Ambrose turns and says, "What about you, Stefan? Ready to meet your maker?" He opens the ambulance, but Stefan's not in there. And then he turns and we can see Stefan running off in the distance.
Hobbling.
You know, he trips a little bit, but he is able to break into a house and he gets inside just before Ambrose gets there. And Ambrose is stuck on the threshold.
Pretty handy.
And Stefan says, I guess being a human still has a few privileges.
You gotta love when you can take advantage of that. We haven't taken advantage of it a lot recently.
Yeah, exactly. We go over to Enzo's car. Reyna wakes up and she's chained up and she says, not you again.
She said, this isn't my Uber.
Enzo says, I'm afraid so. Lucky for me, you seem to be a bit off your game today. And Reyna says, I would rather die than go back to the armory, so I will strangle myself with this seatbelt if I have to. And Enzo says, no, don't bother. They know where you are. It seems like Alex St. John got everything she needed from you. And Reyna says, so what am I missing? Why am I here? And Enzo says, let's just say I have my reasons. She says, wow, that's specific. Are we playing 20 questions now? Great, I'm game. And Enzo says, are you aware the armory has engineered a type of pill that suppresses magic? We go over to Asheville, to the psych ward, where Bonnie is showing these pills to Virginia, and says, if I take one of these every day, they can't do a locator spell on me. The downside is I don't have access to any magic. And Virginia says, how'd the armory make something like that? And Bonnie says, you ever hear of a vampire hunter named Reyna Cruz? They used her blood to make the pills I've been taking. Back in Enzo's car, Enzo says, if you help me, you'll be free to move away. And Reyna says, what kind of help are you looking for? And Enzo says, I need to know if the effects of those pills can be reversed. Reyna laughs. And Enzo says, or I could slit your throat and throw you in a dumpster. Depends on your attitude. And she's like, whoa.
Okay. She's like, Enzo, girl, I need you to be serious about what you think I would possibly know about this.
Like, it is like, what do you think Reyna's going to do?
Yeah, and Reyna's kind of like, I don't give a fuck. Like, my whole life's purpose was to kill vampires, and that all came undone. So if I die, I'm cool.
Yeah. Reyna says, okay, I guess it's the dumpster for me then, because the effects of my blood can't be reversed, only enhanced. How she knows this, I don't know. I guess she was in the armory. Maybe they told her that.
Yeah, or maybe, like, she's never seen it reversed, so she's like, I guess.
Enzo breaks and points a gun at her, and says, how do you know? If I put enough of these through your eyeballs, you'll probably never wake up. And Reyna says, okay, the armory already tried and they failed because magic doesn't behave like science. Don't shoot the messenger. And then she's like, you know, the gun in my face made me realize this isn't a matter of idle curiosity, is it? You stole those pills and you gave them to someone you care about. You know what would be a terrible shame is if that person were a witch, say Bonnie Bennett. Because that would mean you just gave the girl you love a death sentence.
And Enzo's like, okay, well, I didn't know you were that fucking smart.
I didn't know you knew that much about it and that you had no answer. So awesome.
So this was kind of a waste of a day, it turns out.
We go over to the house that Stefan has climbed inside and he is in pain. I mean, things are bad for Stefan.
Yeah, he's actively dying.
Ambrose outside says, you know, you look like you're in pretty bad shape, Stefan. Wouldn't you rather just get this over with? Think of it this way. At least you won't have to go back in the Hellstone. He throws a brick in the house.
Yeah, unfortunately, in this situation, you do got to get away from the door.
And Ambrose says, you would just have the sweet release of death to look forward to. Ambrose throws another brick, which hits Stefan in the head. And it's like, oh, come on.
That's not really fair.
And then Ambrose spots the propane tanks and says, ah, portable stoves. What will they think of next? I think I'm really going to enjoy my life in this new world. He opens like the valve of the propane tank so that it's like leaking gas and throws it inside. He lights like the inside part of a tiki torch or the torch part of a tiki torch, whatever. And he says, you know, I've read your journals, Stefan, so I know you're a deeply sensitive, literary sort of fellow. Are there any final words you'd like me to deliver?
Now, I know the propane is shooting out and it's not looking good regardless, but try crawling to the back of the house. I mean,
Stefan does try to crawl and like close the propane.
He also, I mean, he does like flip it around too. So maybe then the blast will kind of go the other direction. But, you know, let's try to crawl.
Well, if I'm Stefan, the solution I'm doing is like, you know what? I do have final words. And then I just make up a poem and see how long I can go. While I'm crawling away from the propane, I'm like, at least, you know, I'm doing something. Ambrose throws the tiki torch thing, but Damon gets there just in time to catch it before it gets in the house and says, okay, fun's over. And he blows the thing out. Ambrose says, oh, on the contrary, The fun's just begun. And he picks up a piece of wood and breaks it in half. He goes to stake Damon, but he is shot from behind by Rick.
One dart got him down.
Love that. Rick says, I hate how good that felt. Because Rick does, he likes to be in the game. What can I what can we
he
say?
He likes to be a vampire hunter. Otherwise, he would have stopped long ago.
Yeah. We go over to the psych ward. Bonnie puts her pills back in her hiding space, which is in the handle of her sink. And she says, okay, now tell me why the armory is looking for me. And Virginia says, you also promised to get me out of this place, remember? Do you have like a key or a code or something? And Bonnie says, I have a doctor who can check us both out, but not before you tell me what I need to know. And Virginia says, okay, here's the tea. There's a vault in the basement of the armory. It was sealed by a Bennett witch a long time ago, and only a Bennett witch can unlock it. These Bennett witches, they are doing spells, bitch.
Oh my God, they were busy. I mean, they've always been booked. It's like, is anything not sealed by a Bennett spell?
Literally. Bonnie says, oh, so they want me to open a vault? I'll open up a vault.
She said, too easy.
Virginia says, as far as my family knew, Lucy Bennett was the only living witch in your line, and she disappeared about 4 years ago. We'll remember Lucy Bennett from season two or one. No, two, because it was Masquerade. Two. And at the end of that episode, she said, you'll see me again. And then we never did.
We did mention her somewhat recently as well. I think probably with the prison worlds. The other time we had the Bennett sealing something. So, yeah. You know, return of Lucy Bennett, or really not return, because
she disappeared 4 years ago.
How did she disappear from their grasp? Hard to say.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if we'll get it answered.
We'll see.
Virginia says, I'm not sure why we didn't know about you. And Bonnie says, well, I was officially dead for a little while and then I wasn't. Long story. Anyway, what's in the vault? And Virginia says, something that can't be let out. And Bonnie says, I need you to be more specific.
Bonnie's like, you need to tell me, like, literally what?
Yeah, and Virginia says, first you have to swear that you'll never open it. Bonnie should just say, oh, yeah, I swear. But instead, Bonnie says, well, if this vault is the key to my freedom, I can't promise you anything until I know what's in it. Which, Virginia, just tell her what's in it then, if it's so bad.
It's fair. Because if it's so bad, you should feel free to say it, which, you know, makes me think there's some secrets. It may not be that bad.
So what's in the vault?
I realized right as we started recording, I was like, I'm going to have an answer for this.
You sure will.
So, you know, we don't know when it was sealed by a Bennett witch. I think in some way, whatever's in there will help Bonnie get out of this pill situation. Just because I don't know how else we're going to get out of it. And either she's going to die and come back or not going to die. Because frankly, she just can't die without then Elena coming back. Like, there's no way for her to die and then explain why Elena's still asleep. So just...
yeah.
Logistically, she can't die because Nino Brev's not coming back for season 8 after watching this. I'll say that. So I do think it could be some like magic antidote, something in that realm.
But then why does Virginia say like it can't be let out? Why is it so dangerous to Virginia if it's like a potion?
Maybe it's...
Let me ask this question also so you can answer both. And also, if it is something that will help Bonnie... and Alex needs Bonnie to open it, and Alex is the one who wants it open, isn't it in Alex's best interest to say, like, hey, actually, I have a solution for your Bonnie problem that would also help me. I just need her to open this vault.
Well, Alex doesn't know where Bonnie is, and I don't think she would want to give Enzo that satisfaction.
But she wants it open.
Well, maybe she's trying to find Bonnie right now to tell her. See, because here's my thought. We know these pills that Bonnie's been taking suppress magic.
Yeah.
And that can't be taken away. Maybe this pill gives magical powers or like provides a source of magic to people who wouldn't normally have it.
So you think it's like a bottle of pills in this vault?
I'm just going down the pill route. You know, when she says like it can't be let out, that does conjure up images of like a being of some sort.
Yes, I would agree with that. It just feels like if it's a bottle of pills, the solution to like hide them from people is like magically sealing them in a vault feels like a little bit of an overreaction when you could like flush them down a toilet.
Yeah, but the armory isn't exactly like known for their measured reactions.
Or like burn them. Well, I mean, I wouldn't
but,
say
well, maybe they want access to them, but they don't want anyone to have access to them.
Then why wouldn't they seal it using some of their CIA technology that they can get into with their handprints? Why then bring a witch in at all if they want access to it?
That is true. But then that's the other question. Why does Virginia not want it open, but Alex does?
Yes, I would love to. Do you have any guesses as to why? I mean, that's the thing. We have to then think about like
Alex's motivation.
Yeah, Alex's motivation. Or like, I mean, maybe there's more than one thing in
there. I would think it's like I would think it's one main thing because it's a vault that they had to seal, knowing that they can't really get back into it. Because even though they had a Bennett Witch seal it, there had to be the assumption that getting back into it wouldn't be like super easy, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Alex's motivation confounds me. I don't know what she's up to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we have to revisit other things we've seen them grab. So maybe there's like, I don't want to say it's another Everlasting because we know those are linked to Reyna. So I don't think there's like a secret one, but maybe there's some like attachment to immortality, or like maybe Alex wants, like we know Alex says she wants family, but she sent her one family to the psych ward and she doesn't really fuck with Enzo. So that's not it. See, now here's what I'm doing again. I'm going down the power trip.
Yeah. Well, and that's my other question is, you brought up immortality. If they wanted immortality, why wouldn't they just become vampires?
Yeah.
Because they have the tools to do that. I want to bring you down a direction because you said something that it implies like there's like a being in there.
Yeah.
Like, do you think there's like a living thing in there?
See, that's a question of like, because we don't know when it was sealed. And so I do lean the direction of living thing in the vein of like Silas, but I don't think we're going to do like another Silas, obviously, but something because of Let It Out, I'm just going to say this because I don't really have anything. I do get the vision of wings. Now, do I think it has wings? I don't know, but I'm just saying it because it is what came to mind.
It's not crazy to assume that wings could be something that happened. I mean, we're on a supernatural show. Wings are not like the craziest guess you've ever made. At least you're not saying down there is the mayor of Mystic Falls.
The real mayor of Mystic Falls.
Hidden Gilbert journals. Wings is a fine guess. It could be a new type of creature, perhaps.
It could be.
A griffin.
Let me get to this. The other thing we have to remember that the Bennett Witch is sealed is the prison world. So this could be, in essence, something like that. That it's not a prison world in there, but that it is like holding someone back.
Well, we also know that the Bennett Witch is also sealed Michael in that tomb.
And sealed the tomb for the tomb vampires.
They did.
They're known to seal tombs.
Yes, it's kind of their MO. The same way that the Geminis are known for invisiquaying.
They had a like consulting firm to seal shit, apparently.
Yeah.
Sheila was making her money. I'm thinking it's some kind of like evil being. But then, of course, that question is, why does Alex want it out?
That is
so
a
there
good
must
question.
Be some control you can have over it, or like some, maybe it's some old St. John vampire. Maybe it's Enzo's dad. Why the fuck not? Why the fuck wouldn't it be Enzo's dad?
You'd have to be a pretty dangerous vampire to lock him in a vault and not be able to get him out.
Yeah, but it's not the first time we've done it.
Well, it's true.
And maybe Enzo's dad has wings.
He's like a winged vampire.
Maybe he got an experimental surgery at the armory that they put wings on him. And then he said, lock me in a vault. These look so fucking stupid.
He said, I can't ever be seen like this again.
He said, this is even worse than me sending my son to a workhouse.
He said, this is, let me be in here.
Yeah.
Don't ever open it.
You know, I think the Enzo's dad guess is probably not right, but I think it's more in the vein of what usually happens on this show. So that's closer than I've gotten most
times. I think that's a pretty good guess. I won't say if it's right or not.
Yeah. But I think that's more realistic with the confines of this show.
Sure.
I think the other thing we have to bring up is, we know Reyna grew up in Louisiana near these, like, this werewolf group.
What werewolf group?
Like that werewolf group that Klaus saw in the woods.
Right.
Because I think they probably have access to werewolf toxin here. And so where are they getting that? Although if they can't open the vault, how are they getting the toxin? So actually scratch that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's actually, never mind.
It's not a cabinet.
It's a vault. That's the whole thing.
So it's either a bottle of pills or Enzo's dad.
And one of them has wings.
I had to say which. Maybe it's pills that give you wings.
It's a Red Bull. Someone locked in the vault because they're like, it's too powerful.
It's too good. If I don't lock it in there, I'm going to drink it all day.
If I don't lock it in there, I'm going to be buzzing. I won't be able to go to sleep tonight. Someone call Sheila.
Virginia is crying at the concept of this vault being opened and says, oh, I was hoping you'd be on my side. And then she picks up a cup, rakes a mirror, and then grabs a shard to stab Bonnie. Again, what kind of psych ward has glass mirrors?
Really? And also, Virginia, I never said I wasn't on your side. I just said I need to know what's in the vault first. Like,
yes,
just tell me if it's really bad and trust that I will make the right call.
I'm open to not doing it.
Yeah.
Virginia says, sorry, I can't let you open that vault. Again, girl, just tell me what's in it. And I might agree.
Well, and also, like, you can't let me, but you have to tell me because you certainly can't stop me.
Yeah.
So I would like the information.
They fight. Virginia scratches Bonnie, but the nurses come in pretty quick and pull Virginia away. Virginia, you know, tries to reason with the nurses, says, stop. She's a witch. She's trying to break out. You have to stop her. Please, she can't open that vault. They sedate her because, unfortunately, she doesn't sound like she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, one of the downsides of being in a psych ward is they don't really take you seriously when you say stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not saying it's fair, but unfortunately, this is where you are.
Yeah, that's why Alex sent you here, obviously.
Especially because, like, the other patient has a cut on her arm, so unfortunately you look like the antagonist.
Yes. The nurse says, hey, are you all right, Miss McCullough? So that's Bonnie's fake name. And Bonnie says, yeah.
Mike says, all good. You're not buying what she's saying, right?
We go over to the motel. The two bodies are on the beds, Ambrose and Marty. Valerie holds Stefan's hand, and she says, I'll get you back to where you belong. Don't worry. It's like, can we get started then?
It's like, Valerie, you're already going to have a whole conversation with him in his head. Like, do you need to say stuff now? Let's get moving. He's dying.
Valerie turns to Rick and says, thank you for doing all this. Damon returns with like an AED and says, like, I snagged this from the front desk in case we have to restart Marty's ticker. And Rick says, you know, Damon's the one you should be thanking. And Damon says, she didn't think I'd come through, even though Stefan's well-being is the one and only thing we have in common. Don't thank me. Just promise me you can do this.
Valerie said, I wasn't going to thank you. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Valerie says, I promise. And she starts the spell. We go into Stefan's head. So, Valerie, you're so worried about this spell taking up power, and you spend all this time to get in Stefan's head and have a conversation?
Yeah. Focus on the spell, queen.
Yeah. In his head, Stefan awakens in the Salvatore house. And Valerie is there, and she says, care for a drink? And Stefan says, hey, what am I doing here? And Valerie says, you know what they say, there's no place like home. And Stefan says, you're in my head, aren't you? And Valerie says, no matter where we traveled, you were always going on and on about how much you missed this musty old house. So you agree that he wasn't happy when you were on the run.
You mean the house your family stole from him?
Yeah, I just, like, whatever. Valerie says, I figured you'd be more comfortable here and I wanted to see the real you. Stefan says, do I want to know what's happening out there? And Valerie says, you're going to be fine, I promise. They kiss. Stefan says, you know, you wouldn't happen to be lying to me, would you? Because if I'm about to die a painful death in a strange human's body, then I want to make the most of my time. Valerie says, the only thing you need to worry about is our next destination. Any ideas, or would you rather spin the old globe in the upstairs study and let fate decide?
Valerie, I think you know. And I'm watching this, I'm like, why are we watching a Hallmark Magic scene? I'm like, oh, because the spell's going to kill her. Awesome.
Yeah. Great, then I'll sit through this.
Last Valerie scene, okay.
Yeah. Stefan says, well, actually, you know, I've had a lot of time to think late.
And she said, I don't like the sound of that.
So think about what? She says, I suppose there's something about standing on the precipice of death that lends itself to deep thoughts. Stefan says, well, you know, the thing is, I wouldn't have to run anymore. I wouldn't have the scar. My life wouldn't be tied to Reyna's. Valerie says, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Valerie says, ooh, I was really hoping you wouldn't figure that out.
Or that at least have a couple days where you're like, oh, maybe we should stay on the run. She's like, you still want to go on the run, right? And he's like, well, I don't have to anymore. Valerie says, you know, well, we wouldn't have to call it running. You know, we could call it sightseeing.
She's grasping and she knows it.
I know. Stefan says, or we could stay closer to home.
And she said, which home?
Valerie says, home. You do remember we can't go back to Mystic Falls, right? Matt Donovan made sure of that. Oh, no. Everybody hide. It's Matt Donovan.
Like, come on.
She says, unless you're talking about somewhere else. Dallas, maybe? And Stefan says, no, of course not. Because he can tell she's not open to this conversation right now. So he's like, we're not. Okay, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, Stefan said, it just occurred to me that I have to rely on you to bring me back to life. So I better slow this train down.
He said, let me shut my mouth.
Don't you have a spell to do?
He said, hey. Why are we in here? Valerie says, but things are different now and you have a chance to go back to your real life. And he says, you are my real life.
Stefan, you have to at least pretend like you mean it.
Yeah, literally. She has a nosebleed and he says, hey, Valerie, what's wrong? In the motel, Valerie is doing the spell with a nosebleed. She's struggling. She like faints a little bit. Rick says, Valerie, are you okay? And Damon says, no, get up. You promised you could do this. Get up.
Damon said, nuh-uh.
Not today.
Get it together, bitch.
In Stefan's head, Stefan says, Valerie, what's happening? And Valerie says, hey, be honest. Have I only been a pleasant distraction these past few years, or am I something more?
If you have to ask.
Yeah, this should not be a question you even have to ask your boyfriend.
Particularly 3 years in.
And I do sympathize with this, of course. I mean, this has to suck to realize. Unfortunately, is now the time. Why don't we finish the spell and chat after? Or die. I don't really give a fuck what you do. But now's not the time to ask this.
Well, and Valerie, you don't need to ask this. I mean, you know that answer. You've seen it for the past, like, year and a half, ever since you've been hiding this secret. You know that's why you hid the secret. And I get you want him to say it, but come on.
And as soon as he had the realization that he doesn't have the scar anymore, what does he want to do? Stop running with you.
Mm-hmm. It's laid out pretty clear, Queen.
I think you know the answer, unfortunately.
You have to kind of keep your strength for the spell. You've been gathering the strength all fucking day. So let's not waste it on emotions right now.
Yeah.
Because he's certainly not going to choose you if he's dead.
Stefan says, what? No, you've never been a distraction. Valerie, it's the spell. It's hurting you. In the motel, Damon says, Valerie, get up. And Rick says, Damon, stop. She's not strong enough. And Damon says, she is. She's not going to let him die. Get up. You promised you could do this. He puts her hands back on the two bodies and she continues the spell. In Stefan's head, Stefan says, Valerie, stop the spell right now. It's too strong for you. It's killing you. She says, I promised you'd be fine. And Stefan says, do not sacrifice yourself for me. Do you understand?
He said, girl, I don't like you like that.
Like, girl, it makes me sad if you would do that.
And I was watching this thinking, what song are we going to play now that she's going to be dead? Like, oh my God, it's so exciting. I'm so excited for this death.
Yeah, she was basically already dead to you and you were already buzzing. Because it does seem like they're laying it on a little thick if they're not going to kill her.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, it's bye. So hard for her. I'm like, okay, great. Last awesome. Heretic out of the way. Good episode.
Valerie says, I have no intention of breaking that promise. And Stefan says, Valerie, please stop. Valerie says, you're all I have. He says, stop the spell. And she disappears. And he says, Valerie. So she got probably an extra boost of power from stopping this secondary spell she was doing.
Yeah.
We go back to the motel. Stefan wakes up in his body. Valerie is right there. No nosebleed. And she looks fine. Like she
didn't even like faint for a second.
She's not even like heavy breathing. She's just sitting there looking at him.
Fucking lazy as hell. Like after all that complaining, you didn't even fucking die.
And you didn't even pass out? Like, we're not even worried you died? She says, Stefan, and he says, hey, it's me. And they hug.
What's a girl gotta do to get Valerie dead around here?
It's so like me to be so dramatic and be like, I can't do it, I can't do it. And then immediately, like, it's like me when I have to do my laundry. I'm like, I can't, and I do it, and I'm totally fine.
It's like one of those things where you're like, oh, I don't want to make this phone call, and you put it off for like 3 weeks, and you do it, it takes 10 minutes, and you're like, oh. Oops. I overdid that one, huh?
Outside, Rick is walking to the car and Damon says, hey, wait up, Rick, where are you going? And Rick says, where I wanted to go all day, home. And Damon says, Rick, I'm trying here, man. I am. I shouldn't have abandoned you. That was a terrible thing to do. I'm sorry, but tell me whatever amends I need to make or bridges I need to build and let's get back to the way things were, all right? Rick says, you want to know why the last 3 years have been the happiest of my life? Because I got to start over. I have two little girls I absolutely love, a job I actually earned, and a fiance that makes me feel lucky to be alive. And I did all that without you barging into my life and screwing things up. So Damon, no offense, but I don't want things to go back to the way they were. Damon says, well, thanks for being honest. Rick starts to go, but you can tell Rick is like sad, and you can tell that Rick has missed Damon, but he's still mad at him.
Yeah, which is fair.
Yeah, and so Rick turns back and says, Bonnie's undercover in a psych ward in Asheville. Might have better luck winning her back. We go into the motel room. Valerie has a paper in front of her, and Stefan returns from the bathroom. I guess he took a shower and changed clothes, and he says, better? And she says, better. And he says, oh, are you, like, catching up on your correspondence?
He says, I didn't know you had any other friends.
And she says, well, I don't, and actually that's really getting to me today. She says, I was trying to write you a letter, like the ones you used to write Caroline when you thought I wasn't looking. And he says, okay, I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah, he said, oh, I'm not saying shit to that.
He says, I'm standing right here. You don't have to write me a letter. And she says, I heard the fear in your voice. You weren't afraid of dying. You were afraid I was going to die for you. And he says, oh, yeah, of course I was. And she says, you were afraid it wouldn't have been worth it. Me sacrificing myself for you because you don't love me the way I love you. And the guilt of that sacrifice would eat you alive. And he's like, yeah.
He said, well, I mean, you finally got there.
Yeah. She says, the truth is, I've never loved anyone the way I loved you. And Valerie, that's because you've never given anyone else a fucking chance.
I was going to say, did you try?
Like, she met Stefan as a teenager, fell in love with him. And, you know, I get why she was attached to him then. She, like, nursed that forever. And then they go in the prison world and they get out. And she just has never tried to meet anyone else. She never tried to meet anyone outside of her family.
Yeah.
And even them, she was always, like, mad at them because of the whole Julian thing. Which, like, I get it. But she's just, like, girl, you've barely lived.
Yeah, she's never made a single choice in her life.
She says, but, you know, that's not true for you. And it's true. Like, she is easily, like, fourth place girlfriend.
Yeah.
But behind, like, Caroline, Elena, and Catherine, like...
And Rebecca's breathing down her neck, like...
It's pretty close, her and Rebecca.
Yeah.
Valerie says, and now by some miracle, you get the chance to go back and make things right with Caroline. I mean, it's not by some miracle he could have done this at any point in the last 3 years, but fine.
It really is, like, Valerie, I'm glad you're seeing this, because...
It is. I mean, it's time to bow out.
I respect that she said, look, I saved your life. But I'm clearly, like, obsessed with you, and you have a lot more people in your life. I have nobody, and that's not good.
She's like, I could distract myself when no one else was around. Now there's all these other people. It makes me look a lot sadder.
She said, and the only thing sadder than this is if I get dumped. So I'm gonna beat you to that punch,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. She says, I know you never meant to hurt me. I even know you loved me in your own way. And maybe if things had been different, if the world had been kinder to us, I could have been the love of your life, too. Your small, quiet, human life. All love. He probably wouldn't ended up with an Elena doppelganger anyway.
Literally, like, we said this way back when the baby thing got revealed. If he had this baby with Valerie and Catherine came to town, Catherine would have got those two out of his life so fast.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you never stood a chance, Valerie. And it does suck because I do think, like, they did have a moment where they thought they were in love. But of course, they were both, like, 16.
Yeah.
People change within their human lives as well as beyond.
And Valerie just didn't change as much because, you know, some of it wasn't her fault. Like, it's hard to change when you're around the same people for 103 years and desiccated for some amount of those, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not meant to be, girl.
Stefan says, I'm so sorry. He doesn't even try to deny this.
Because he's like, look, I could say that's not true, but I think we both know, like, I respect you enough to not pretend.
Yeah. Valerie says, don't be, like, I think it'll be good for me to find a new life that's completely my own. I've never had that. Yeah, girl, it will be better for you. They kiss and I boo, but then I cheer because yay, they broke up.
Yay! And you said this during the episode a little bit, that I do think it's better that she didn't die. Because if she died, it would have been this guilt and he would have to figure this out himself. I'm glad she was like, no. We're cutting this cord. It puts a better, like, it's a solid end to this.
If she died, he would have to mourn for a while. I think this closes the chapter well.
Yeah.
And it closes it very cleanly in a way that a death would not be able to. So as much as I would love to see Valerie die, I think this makes it better. It sets up Steriline a little bit better. And I need that. I'm sorry.
Well, they needed to set up Steriline after they've just been, like, chomping at their ankles for, like, weeks.
They want them dead. And to what end? Valerie says, I know you don't always believe this, but you deserve to be happy, Stefan. Please be happy.
Stefan's like, girl, do you think I'm not trying?
He said, I'm trying my best. He says, you too. And she leaves.
Yeah.
She leaves.
Bye.
Do you think we'll ever see Valerie again? Or do you think this is the end?
This is the end. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, bitch.
Literally, bye.
Bye.
We go back to Asheville. Bonnie is packing some stuff up and she pulls out a book with the letter in it from Damon. So she still has that letter.
She can forgive. It'll just take a bit.
Enzo is there and he says, hey, the hospital left a message with your doctor. Said you had an incident with another patient. They smile and hug and kiss. So he's her doctor.
Which we all knew.
Yeah. He sees the scratch and she says, it's just a scratch, doctor. But it was all worth it. Because guess who knows why I'm on the Armory's most wanted list. And Enzo says, Virginia St. John. And Bonnie says, turns out there's some kind of vault in the basement of that pretentious building. Sealed by a Bennett witch. Alex St. John wants me to open it. Now we just have to figure out what's inside and the best way to leverage my freedom after you check me out of this place and take me out for dinner. Because if I have to eat another piece of runny beige casserole, I might actually lose my mind.
It's also super interesting that Alex did not tell Enzo about this vault, period, let alone what's in it. That's just an odd.
That's a good point, because you would think once Alex finds out that Enzo is essentially killing Bonnie, it would behoove her to get Bonnie to this vault ASAP.
But even like when Enzo was like in the armory for like 4 months before he even knew he was related to Alex, like, one thing about Enzo, he's snooping. He's going places where he's not welcome. Like, how did he not stumble across this vault, honestly?
That's a good point.
So, more evidence for the Enzo's dad theory. What else would they keep a secret from Enzo if he's, like, so involved in the armory and it's his quote-unquote birthright?
That's a good point. Enzo, like, takes her pills. And Bonnie's like, hey.
I need those.
And he says, oh, you can't take these anymore. And she says, I got a lead, not all the answers. I still need to stay off the armory's radar. And Enzo says, the thing is, the pills are making you sick. She says, no, I feel fine, though. And Enzo says, I didn't know, but the armory was experimenting on Mary Louise. They forced these pills down her throat every day for the last 3 years. And as a result, she became very, very ill. And Bonnie says, I thought she blew herself up. And Enzo says, it's because she knew she was dying. I'm so sorry. I thought I was protecting you. And Bonnie says, I'm going to die? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because I've done it once or twice before, and it's not all that fun.
But also, you've come back once or twice before. So, you know, what's a third?
That's true. Enzo says, I'm not going to let that happen. I will not let you die, Bonnie Bennett. You have my word. They hug. And then Damon appears in the doorway with flowers and says, Bonnie. Now, Damon, you can eavesdrop. You know this isn't a good time.
When I get the impulse with the flowers. One, it's weird to bring a bouquet to this. And two, this bouquet specifically, like, this is maybe, if I'm being generous, like a $30 bouquet. Let's spend up a little bit.
It just looks like he went into like Vaughn's and picked up the first bouquet, which the gesture is nice, but I don't know.
If you're going to do a gesture, like the flowers are an odd choice unless it's like, you know, it's flowers she likes. An odd first attempt. I'll say that.
Bonnie walks toward him and Damon says, I'm sorry. And then he has nothing else to say. He says, I really?
Like, did you not think about what you would say? Did you not have a thought while you were headed to the store to buy those?
Please prepare a speech.
But at least he got the I'm sorry out.
Yeah. And then Bonnie slams the door in his face. And that's where we end the episode. So I guess first question, is Bonnie going to forgive Damon?
Yeah. I mean, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
But he does need to put a little work into it. And like, she wants him to put some work into it. She needs to know that he actually cares that he hurt her feelings.
Exactly. The more pressing question and the more dramatic question, how do we save Bonnie's life?
There's certainly some way to do it. I've already given my reasons for that.
You raised the right point that Nina Dobrev's not coming back. Bonnie can't die without Elena waking up. And Elena waking up would guarantee that she would need to come back based on the character. So we can all rest under the assumption that Bonnie is not going to die. The question is how they reasonably solve that problem.
So Reyna's still alive and out there. So that's something. I mean, we used her blood to make her sick. Like, I know they've quote unquote tried everything to make the antidote, but you know, there's no way to like physically try every single option. So there may still be some antidote options with Reyna's blood or not. And I do think the point that Reyna dropped of magic doesn't behave like science, we're in that space again of this magic versus science debate. It's a scientific thing, so magic can't work. Well, it's magic. So
jot that down.
So I think there's a possibility that like vampire blood can play a role in it.
Well, I think the problem is that Reyna's blood is impervious to magic. Mm-hmm. So vampire blood wouldn't affect her, perhaps, if the pills are in her system.
That's the thought that I think is there. But I don't think we know that for sure.
It never hurts to try vampire blood. I mean, I'll be the first to say that.
Worst case, she throws it up.
Yeah.
Let me raise a couple scientific options because we are in that space. One, the issue here is that she has Reyna's blood in her system making impervious to magic. You know, we can assume a couple different ways that this pill works scientifically. One we can assume is that it's staying in her bloodstream. So, okay, dialysis. Let's clean the blood.
That's a good point.
That's one option. We tried that with Liz, I think, with her cancer.
Yes.
The other option, like, you know, if we're going the scientific route, what exactly are these pills doing that blocks magic? I mean, I don't think they have like a receptor they're aware of because it's just Reyna's blood that they made them take. But is there some like other pill that could like repower the receptor that it's acting on or something? Or like block it from, you know, affecting things. So I do think we have some scientific options here as well.
Sure. Here's my question about the scientific options, though. Don't you think the Armory tried those?
I don't think they tried dialysis.
Why not?
Because I don't think they really cared if Mary Louise died. I think they were more working on like building a different pill or an antidote. So I don't think they were really trying to get it out of her system. Rather, I think they were probably more working on the like how to undo the effects.
Maybe.
I will say that I think the solution to this is more likely magic than science. And that's why they didn't figure it out, because they've been trying the science path.
So what's the magic solution to this?
You know, vampire blood, or there's some other like, you know, I don't think we're going to be siphoning because we already cleared out our last one. And you can't really siphon out something that's not magic. Maybe magic to overpower it in some way, because it's not like she's taking these pills every day. If she stops taking them and they're, you know, the concentration is going down in her system, maybe her magic can overpower it in some way. Like maybe it hasn't gotten to like the full negative effects yet, even though she's been taking them as long as Mary Louise. But Mary Louise got sicker. And also we have to remember that Mary Louise like is naturally siphoning energy from herself at all times. So maybe that is also playing a role in hurting her. Like maybe if you're not taking it, it gives it time to kind of dull the effects.
We have to assume that Mary Louise couldn't siphon with the pills in her system because...
Yeah, that she couldn't siphon, but this, you know, she's magic. And she was like, I guess she wasn't trying to do spells.
Yeah, but the magic was shut down is the thing.
But there's more like work that her body is doing magic wise
sure.
than Bonnie.
That makes sense. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So it's like exhausting her faster.
Perhaps.
So I think magic will overtake it in some way. Like Bonnie could do a spell to like get it out of her system.
But she can't do a spell while it's in her system.
If she stops taking it, they'll be able to locate her. So that means she'll have access to her magic. So yeah. The other option is maybe if you just stop taking it, it goes away.
Yeah, it's unclear what the actual order of events is. And also, to be fair, we were told by Alex that they tried to find an antidote. She could have been lying.
Yeah, and trying everything they wanted to. Maybe they tried a few things and were like, this isn't really worth it. Like, she's clearly dying too fast, whatever. Like, I just think there's, you know, more hope for Bonnie in general.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars rating and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.